Hello and welcome to Be Mindful. I'm Lillian Larsky and I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, Pastor Deji Ayorendi and Sister Noma Ekwa. And yes, it's another week. What's that hand signal for?
The surname.
Yes, it's another
week. What, did I get it wrong? Surname, did I get it wrong? Anyway, being mindful is our weekly broadcast explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with these kinds of concerns as Christians. As always, during the show, we would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch regarding today's topic. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us via the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly, and we will be able to respond from there. Also, if you are using any of the social media, you can contact us from there as well. If you are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, use the handle at PHBC and again send us a message and we will come back to you. So that said, in our normal tradition, we will explore what is on our mind. So I'm going to start. No, first of all, I want to know what did I get wrong with the surname? Whose name did I get wrong? How do you pronounce it, Noma?
It's Ekwe.
Ekwe. What did I say?
I don't know.
You said Ekwa.
I normally say Ekwe, my apologies. Noma Ekwe.
Yeah. She's married you off to some dude.
Yeah, I know the prophecy.
Amen. Yes. We need a wedding in PHBC, isn't it?
Hey, you hold that thought. Because I've been telling the Lord we need a wedding up here.
Yes. We prophesy. Over to you, Noma. What's on your mind?
While I was here and, you know, thinking, I was just thinking that today is September 11th. And of course, like we all know, like many years ago, I think Pastor Deji said it's 21 years. 22. Oh, okay. We know what happened in terms of like World Trade Center and just thinking about how that changed the whole world and, you know, like the safety that everyone felt, that sense of safety. And it's just how just one thing can just bring fear. You know, I think from that moment, fear became heightened in the world, as it were. Yeah, so I think that's just what, you know, so my mind, just thinking again about that incident and just how one thing can just change, you know, so many things at the same time. Yeah.
And as you are a millennial, you are a millennial.
Yeah.
Can you remember where you were? Is she not a millennial?
I love the way that was emphasized. As you are a millennial.
Are you not?
You're a millennial. Are you not? Oh.
Stop teasing me today. You're picking on Lillian Day.
Yes, it is. Mondays, only on Mondays.
Can you remember where you were 22 years ago?
I think I was home. Growing up, we had like two sitting rooms. There was one special one that's just for my dad and his visitors, and we're only allowed in there if we promised that we're not going to like eat or drink
or mess up the room.
Yeah. So you were allowed in there once you like maybe crossed a certain age, and everyone thought, okay, you're responsible. So yeah, so I had made it, and I was now in daddy's special living room, and I was actually like watching it on the news with him. So yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pastor Deji, Ayorendi, did I pronounce your surname correct? I bet I didn't.
It's a remix. Permitted. It's a remix. Remix.
What is on your
mind? What's on my mind? It's actually a similar thing. It's just from the whole September 11th, 2001, we saw world-changing events, right? And to answer your question, I was in Peckham. I didn't live in Peckham at the time, but I was visiting some friends, a couple, husband and wife, and they'd had the day off, or they weren't at work because they were both home, and we'd left their home, and we'd walked off to some shops, something in Peckham, and as we got back to theirs, you know, we noticed in a shop window, people were gathered around and looking at the TV, mm-hmm. and we thought, what's going on? At that point, then we then went into their home, switched on the TV, and incredulity, just sitting there glued to this thing, thinking, I don't understand. Is this real? Mm. Is this real? And I suppose, you know, watching it unfold in real time. But for me, and you're absolutely right, Norma, I think that the world that then heralded a new wave of how we understand fear, mm-hmm. how we understand terror, mm-hmm. a new wave of global politics mm-hmm. and politicking, mm-hmm. you know, a new wave of evil, actually, mm-hmm. subsequent to that, mm-hmm. you know, because whether you like it or not, you know, many would agree with, but many would disagree with the second Gulf War. At the time, I was one of those. You know, I've said this before. I did a Not In My Name march from Camberwell to Parliament Square. Mm-hmm. I walked the streets of London. I've never done anything like that. Not In My Name. You know, just Tony Blair, stand down. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand this guy's a bad guy, but, you know, you don't go kicking your neighbor's door down and beating him up because you heard that he beat his kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not quite the solution here. Mm-hmm. I was one of those. And so reflecting on that, but then beyond that point, that one day changed history. But for me, it was one more day. It's one more event in world history. And you know, sorry, but it's just what I was thinking. Where that helps us to reground our faith, mm-hmm. you know, because a new wave of fear came. Mm-hmm. But how do we counter that? We needed a new wave of faith, mm-hmm. you know. We needed a new wave of confidence in God, mm-hmm. in the God that called us and created us and wired us and put us here, mm-hmm. the one that knows the end from the beginning, you know. And so I've just been thinking about that as the world remembers today, mm-hmm. I hope, I really hope, that the Christians who were directly or indirectly affected are also remembering God in this. Mm-hmm. Because too often when negativity happens, you know, the enemy, the devil, sucks all the glory. Mm-hmm. He sucks all the attention. He sucks all the... We're only talking about him. Mm-hmm. We're only talking about what he did. Mm-hmm. We're not countering mm-hmm. with God and what God did. Yes. You know, so that's just been on my mind. Lord, help mm-hmm. me to always remember to flip the coin over. And no matter how dark, to remember that you are with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a good point, Pastor Deji, because I remember the testimonials that came out of that from not even just Christians, but non-Christians who were saying that morning, from the non-Christian's perspective, it was that morning they felt something not to go into work. And they were questioning it, you know. Yes. And they were like, well, that's odd. And some people saying they missed the alarm, their clock, they woke up late.
There was a guy who he worked in the Twin Towers, mm-hmm. I can't remember, it was one or two. And when he left home, he stopped for coffee. Mm-hmm. And as he was picking up his coffee, somebody bumped into him and his coffee cup splashed on him. Mm-hmm. So he had to go back to change, mm. you know, and it's those little stories, you know, and they're the human element of what we miss, you know, what, 3,000 odd people, that's the human side of it, you know,
but I remember that when that unfolded, I was looking for a job. In those days, it was, you look for a job in a newspaper, you know, not like now, everything's online. Yes. But I remember flicking through the paper and the television was on, and I thought it was a movie or some type of a, you know, infomercial or something like that, until it went on forever. And I was like, what's going on? You know, because I'm not a news person, really. I'm a need to know, you know.
Yeah.
So when this was going on, I was like, what kind of movie is this, you know? And then I realized it was like, oh, this is real.
But it was
surreal. It was like, gosh, nothing like this has ever happened before. Scary, wasn't it? Mm. Yeah, what's going on? And obviously, like you said, you know, in major cities like London, in the States, parts of Europe, you know, the security was heightened.
Yeah.
And after that, any travel was heightened in terms of security. Mm. You know,
no-fly zone was everywhere. Exactly. People were like, I don't want to fly. I don't want to fly.
Yeah. And it was like everyone was a criminal. Everyone was a suspect, you know. So not only that, you know, there were, of course, you know, in the streets of London, you know, we heard of reports of innocent Muslim people being attacked as well, mosques being attacked.
Even the Muslims. I mean, for me, the worst one, I remember a group of Sikhs who had left a Sikh temple, but because they had turbans on, ignorance, they got attacked. They weren't even Muslims, you know. And it was dreadful, really, really dreadful season.
It was like it gave the racists
something, you know, to go on.
Exactly. More fuel to go on. And, you know, even pockets of areas where Muslims were living in outside of London, you know, in the rural areas were being under attack and all sorts of nonsense. And it was really, really bad. But like you say, you know, the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to get the glory. But, you know, let's remember the stories of where God intervened in the lives of individuals, you know. And now that place is a mark of memorial, you know, where people can go and use it as a place of reflection, not only of what happened, but also as a reflection of their own lives, you know, because I think it was a wake-up call for many people to say, hold on a minute, life is precious, life is short. That would have been me in that tower, or because it was other cities as well. I think it was Philadelphia.
The guys, the ones that went for the Pentagon.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, life is precious, life is short. Let me get on and do life. And, you know, and people were, different stories that I was hearing of people saying, right, you know what, I'm not happy here, I'm going to move cities. I'm not happy in this country, I'm going to move country. I'm not happy in this job, I'm going to leave it and I'm going to do what it is that I really want to do. So,
So what's on your mind? 9/11 as well?
Yes. That's what was on my mind was 9/11. Yes. So I was going along with the thing.
I think it's difficult to, something so significant in world history. Because it changed. This isn't just about, you know, physical security. This is also about financial security. Because obviously the World Trade Center, financial trading district, what that did to the banks, what it did to the airlines, what it did for armed forces, what it did for military, what it did for espionage and technology, what it did for politics, what it did for international relationships. You know, the ramifications are broad. You know, what it did for petroleum prices, which then had a knock-on effect on other prices, what it did for inflation, and on and on and on and on.
So those of you listening, you know, what's your take on the 9/11? You know, were you even born then? Some of you, I'm sure, were around the age of 22. So. How did you hear about 9/11? You must probably think, what's 9/11? What's your take on
where were you?
Yes, and where were you? Those of you who can remember 9/11, where were you? Okay, so I think we are going to move to music break. Pastor Deji, what do we have on the show today?
Today on the show, surprise, surprise. Are you ready to be surprised?
Is it one of mine?
Are you ready to be surprised?
Is it one of mine?
No. But are you ready to be surprised? Don't give me side eye. Are you ready to
I'm
be surprised?
I'm giving Pastor side eye because I've given him a list of music.
That's true.
Over a month now.
Pastor Deji, but that's true.
Isn't it? Thank you, Noma, for sticking her up. Me up.
Yes. You could have been neutral.
I'm a witness.
Thank you.
But are you ready to be surprised?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
There's no jazz tonight. Shock horror.
So what have we got instead?
this track is, and I think in the light of what we've just been talking about, although it wasn't planned this way, but in light of what we've been talking about, how, you know, sometimes the enemy brings things and God will always shine through, you know, his light shines through the darkness. And no matter what it is we're going through individually, he is the one that is pulling us through. This is Todd Delaney with Pulling Me Through.
I've gone through, Lord, it was you. Through all I've gone through, Lord, it was you. Yes, it was you. Oh, it was you. Was you, Lord, it was you that pulled me through. Oh.
Everybody knows that God did it for them. Just say it was you, Father. This is my testimony, God. I stumbled a few times. Towards heaven and say, it was you, Father.
Nobody but you, Lord.
Just say, I am a witness
that he'll never
that he'll never
oh, no.
Foster's glasses, which have gone.
Taking a walk.
Oh my goodness.
Don't you hate when that happens? You're looking for something and it's
right on you.
You know, the worst one, there's a thing, a video.
Hold on a minute. Let me tell the listeners where what the happened? Glasses were. We were looking in certain places for his glasses. Looking
all over the desk.
Guess where his glasses were?
My lap.
On his lap. Honestly.
It's rather like the woman. There's a lady who's carrying her child. She's got a phone in her hand. In one hand, she's got her smartphone. In the other hand, she's got her child. But she's rocking the baby's buggy back and forth with her foot. Mm. After a while, she stops scrolling on her phone. She gets up, looks in the buggy, realizes the baby's not there. And it's a home security camera that catches her. And you see her pacing. And she paces frantically, looking for this baby. And then suddenly she realizes she's carrying the baby all along.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I felt like that just now.
He had his baby all along on his lap. Anyway, listeners, welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Being Mindful radio show here at PHBC, where we explore issues surrounding quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. And today we are discussing the topic of fasting.
Fasting.
So before we get stuck in, listeners, if you have any questions about fasting, please do let us know. If you've got any comments regarding fasting, do let us know. You can contact us via the PHBC radio app or any of our social media handles on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Use the handle at PHBC to get in touch with us.
PHBC London.
At PHBC London.
PHBC is somebody else.
Excuse me. At PHBC London via the social media. All right, so guys, what do we think about fasting? It's a huge topic. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to pastor yet because, you know, we expect our pastor to know everything about fasting, don't we? So...
So he goes to the person who knows nothing.
It's probably best to start with the pastor.
I'm going to go to Noma first as a PK. So she should know everything about fasting.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I grew up with the knowledge about like fasting, especially from my mom. And well, she didn't let us, like, as children, run like fasting as children, but like she told us about it. She used to have periods where my mom back in the day, like, she would actually do like a dry fast for like 2-3 days, and sometimes she'll lock herself up in the room, like, she'll just tell us, I'm going to pray, you know, this is your food, this is that, and then that's it until like 3 p.m. Then she comes out, and then, you know, she carried on and stuff. So I was very much aware about, you know, prayer and fasting. I think the first time I actually took on fasting, I was in boarding school, and so I was in the drama group in boarding school, and the Christian drama group, and so
of course
nothing worldly. And so there was a role that they had casted me to play, and, you know, it was one of these things where, you know, you have people who are playing angels and people who are playing like demons and things like that. And for some reason, my casting for the demon was like really good. And so they're like, you are going to be, you know, the demon.
Chief demon.
Yeah, you're going to be, you know, going to be that. And so I remember, I think I was like, maybe like 14 or 15. And the gravity of taking that role. And so I think I was about 14 or 15. And then just days leading up to the actual practice, I actually went on a fast, not a dry fast, but I actually like fasted and prayed. You know, just covering myself, you know, just, you know, just asking God to take control and cover me. Like, I didn't want to, you know, expose myself to anything in the process of doing that. So, yeah, so I think that was when I actually, like, I can remember clearly when I actually, like, fasted about something. And then ever since then, I have, I have been doing fasting. I have been doing that actively. But I'm interested to really hear from you, Lillian, and Pastor Deji, because again, like coming from an African Nigerian background, the way our churches see fasting, it's like it goes together. Like you can't not fast. Like it's almost like, how dare you as a Christian, and you know, you're not fasting. So I'm really interested to know.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What type of fast did you do or have you done?
So I have done, let me see. I've never done a dry fast. I think, I've tried the Daniel fast, I think that one I did like one day or 2 days or something. But usually what I do when I'm fasting is just pick a time, like let's say from the moment I wake up, so like 6 to 6, for example, or 6 to 3 or 6 to 12. And then I just, in that, I also actively, either I'm praying or I'm listening to sermons or like, so that it's not like I'm just starving myself. I actually try to do like spiritual practices as well. Yeah.
Interesting. Pastor Deji, what's your take on fasting?
It's amazing how most days I can go without having breakfast. Any day, actually, I can make a decision. I'm not, you know, in fact, most days I don't have breakfast. But the day I decide to fast, as soon as I wake up, I'm hungry.
I've heard that. Yeah.
I decide I'm going to fast, and it's like all of a sudden, like, oh, I fancy some breakfast. You haven't had breakfast. 29 days this month, you haven't had breakfast. Yeah. The day you decide you're going to fast, all of a sudden, 6:30. Ooh, I'm feeling a bit peckish.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, I that for me is the, one of the first things I remember from my experiences. What else can I say? In fact, you know, as you were speaking, Norma, about how your mom would say, right, you guys, there's your food, there's what you have to do, I'm going to fast, you know. I had a picture almost like Moses going up to the mountain to seek God, you know. So when she came out from the fasting, had you guys built a golden calf?
Lay down in the house.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop reporting. Mommy, he did it. He did it. Yeah.
So I fasted, and I do fast, and I have done a dry fast. Yeah. My first dry fast was 5 straight days.
Ooh.
5 straight days. As in dry. Nothing. Nothing. I went with a pastor at the time, and I remember Pastor Charles. Well, if we were in Hereford, you know, some, it took us hours and hours to drive there. This, like a B&B type retreat type venue owned by a Christian woman. And she just hosted people. And she said, oh, if you can have what you want. And we said, oh, we're fasting. And said, oh, fantastic. And I remember, I think it was day 3. This was 1994. What year did Mandela, was Mandela released? 94?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 94. It was around, I remember Mandela's release was on the news. That particular afternoon, we were in the middle of it, and you know, we had music playing. I'd take my keyboard, and it'd just be worship and music and sermons and, you know, study books and just before God, just soaking that, and trying not to move too much. Yes. But try not to expend too much on a dry fast.
Yeah.
You do not want to be expending energy.
Imagine,
you know. And I remember that afternoon, I think it was day 3 or day 4. It was day 4. So we had one more day left. And Pastor Charles was like, oh, you know, maybe we should have chosen a different venue. She's clearly cooking lunch for somebody. You could smell the lunch coming from somewhere. Every time something was being cooked, you could smell it. And I said, yeah, I know, it's jacket potatoes. I could smell the jacket potato. Oh, delicious jacket potato. He says to me, you know what, Deji? I don't really like jacket potato. I said, you don't? He said, no, but right now, I'd eat a lizard.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so, yeah, I, I have done a dry fast, and I still remember it to this day. Mm-hmm. I remember what I was fasting toward. I remember the point and the why. I remember where, you know, what was going on for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember it being of value, of real, real spiritual value. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I've been fasting for many years. And from the time that I started, like when I say seriously became a Christian, born again Christian, mm-hmm. that is, and fasting, and the church would call for a fast. So the church would say, well, this is what we're fasting on, these are the prayer points, etc. Which was great because then you have a guide mm-hmm. as to what you were praying mm-hmm. about. And that would normally be you'd abstain from food, you would take fluids in as plain as possible, like water mainly. But I remember one time I took it upon myself to do a dry fast. My goodness, I tell you, the last day was hell. Dry fast isn't, you know, like what you said, no food, no water. Mm. That was just 3 days. Mm. By the end of that 3 day, I felt enlightened in terms of I felt lighter. I don't know whether it gave me any spiritual benefit as such, because I think I was doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm. And so after that, the next day, I didn't understand then about not, you know, minimizing my movement, mm-hmm. because I was still going about doing my daily activities. No. So, it was horrendous. I remember walking through Croydon that time and dragging my feet.
And you thought you're going to pass out?
Yes, it was not good. After that, I just said never, ever again. And then, due to several instances in terms of illnesses, my fasting has taken on a different approach now. Mm. And just reading up about the different types of fastings that we can do, knowing that it's not just about what we're abstaining from, but it's about our closeness, getting closer to God. Because if we fast without any spiritual agenda in terms of, you know, where is God in this, then it's just like a starvation exercise or, you know, a diet or whatever. So
I want to break it here. Let's listen to some music. And when we come back, we'll address the question, why should we fast? Three questions. Mm-hmm. We have to address them quickly. Why should we fast?
Uh-huh.
How should we fast? And who should fast?
Mm.
Why should we fast? How should we fast? Who should fast? Is that can we do that?
Yes.
This track is by a lady called Sherry Ann Morn. Morn. M-A-U-G-H-N. Yeah, Morn, right?
M-A-U-G-H-E. Yeah.
Sherry Ann Morn. Certainly one of my in terms of Caribbean female Christian singers, one of my favorites. Mm. And the song is called Born to Worship.
I was born to worship and created to sing your praises. I live to honor you, long to see your face. You are my God and I forever love you. Tonight born to worship, created to sing your praise. I'll live to honor you, long to see your face. You are my God, and I'll forever, ever worship you. Holy and wonderful, matchless is your name. Alpha and Omega, forever you are the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, you're holy. So worthy, so worthy. Your kingdom will never fail, and I was born just to give you praise. And I sing in you. I will sing just to give you praise. Oh, I will dance just to give you praise. I will worship you. I will worship you.
Welcome back, everyone. You're tuned in to Being Mindful. And that song was, Pastor Digi?
Born to Worship.
Born to Worship by?
Sherry Ann Maughan.
Sherry Ann Maughan. And one of Pastor's favorites.
I certainly like to boogie to that song.
We are still exploring the issue around fasting. For we as Christians, again, if you have any questions, comments, contributions, please do let us know. Again, get in touch with us via the PHBC app or on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, using the handle at PHBC London. So, Pastor gave us some questions for us to answer. And the first one is, why should we fast? So I'm going to start with Noma. Noma, why should we fast?
I think for me, why I fast is it's like a time of separation, as it were. Just getting in tune, because, you know, life can be very busy and life can be very hectic. And sometimes, I don't know if this happens to other people, but sometimes because I've been a Christian for so long, some things can be so routine for me, you know. So I can get so familiar with so many things about, you know, Christ and the Word and things like that. So yeah, for me, it's like a rejig, you know, like something to like kick me back up again when I notice that I'm just a bit flat spiritually. So yeah, that, for me, that's why I do fast. It's like a reawakening of my spiritual walk.
Why should we fast? Well, yes, it's a this is an interesting one. Why should we fast? Because I'm in two camps, to be honest, about fasting. If we look in the Bible, we see that the instruction to fast predominantly comes from the Old Testament. There are scriptures in Isaiah about fasting, and in other places as well about fasting. But yet when we go into the New Testament, even though fasting is mentioned, it's not a command. So should we as Christians be fasting? Should we not? I mean, it's good in terms of like what you mentioned, Noma, you know, the distractions of life, to put away those distractions. And food can be a distraction. Food is, we'll come on to, you know, just different types of fasting. But, you know, there are distractions that we can just put aside, and where we're just totally focused on God, you know. Different distractions, like work can be a distraction. Relationships can be a distraction. Your money can be a distraction, you know. So it's good, I think, to put aside the distractions and just to draw closer to God, so you're more sensitive to hearing him. Yeah, that's my take on why we should fast.
I think both of you have touched on it, because I'm with you as well. Fasting doesn't change God. Mm-hmm. It changes us. Mm-hmm. Fasting does not move God. Never has done, never will do, absolutely cannot do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supposed to switch us back into that place, put us back into that place of focus, where we bring the flesh and the desires of the flesh under subjection. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, that's what fasting should, that's the why mm-hmm. of fasting, mm-hmm. you know. And so, and you're absolutely right. And what you see in the Old and the New, in the Old Testament, some of these religious and faith practices, because we're not the only faith group that fasts, mm-hmm. some of the religious and faith practices we see in the Old Testament are given as law. But in the New Testament, with Jesus, we're under the dispensation of grace, mm-hmm. where it is saying, listen, you know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You remember when Jesus was taught, when they brought the child, and the disciples were arguing over this child, and his dad was there, and the dad explains to Jesus that this guy, you know, he's ill, and whatever it is, he gets convulsions in it, you know, whether it be epilepsy or whatever mm-hmm. the modern name for it may be today. We don't know the specifics of that condition. And this guy would have a fit, and the fit would fling him in fire, even. Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, what do you guys think you're doing? This kind of faith only comes through prayer and fasting. So even Jesus was extolling the virtues of fasting, i.e. Yeah. getting yourself in that place of actual discipline. You know, like you were saying, Lillian, you did a dry fast, which was fine, which was good, but you didn't do, you know, you didn't, rather like we were saying, you know, you're doing that kind of fast, you know, your focus is on God. Mm-hmm. And what people do often, we say, oh, let's have a fast. You know, 30 days of fasting, and people are still going shopping, mm-hmm. going to their wedding, well, yes. going to their cousin's yeah. engagement party, and going to funerals, mm-hmm. going to, do you understand? You know, nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a ritual. It's just doing for doing's mm-hmm. sake. So fasting changes us, and its purpose is to say, what's the reason I'm paying this price? The reason I'm paying this price is to get my focus back on God. Mm-hmm. But I query, again, who knows? I query, if everything's the same, how did you mm-hmm. pay that price to do this? How did mm-hmm. you say, the reason I'm doing this, you know, God, this is for you, help me. So I quell that desire for food with the desire for the food of the word. Mm-hmm. You know, that desire to be comforted by the food I'm eating, I take that into the word.
Yeah.
And I put that hunger into his word. Mm-hmm. And that's how I, you know, but, mm-hmm. and that's why a lot of fasts are just an exercise in yes. starvation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I really like what yeah. you said about, like, the ritualistic nature that fasting mm-hmm. can often take, because that's really it's something that I think I have also experienced in terms of fasting. I've had those moments where, like you said, probably the church I was part of, you know, they've said, okay, we're going on a 21-day fast, and, you know, I'm at work, I'm, you know, I'm doing stuff. It was even later on I started realizing, like, okay, if you're fasting as well, like abstaining from food, even the things I watch, I also need to also be careful with that. I didn't know that before. Sometimes I'll just mm-hmm. still be watching the regular stuff I watch, my reality TV things. But then I was like, you also have to, because you're trying to open up your spirit.
Absolutely. You know? Kill the flesh.
Yes.
Kill the desires of the flesh, yeah. the comfort, the place the flesh finds its
yeah.
comfort.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason you're doing that is, God, this is for you. Mm. And if we're saying, oh, I'm doing it for God, but again, but we're still doing the routine.
Mm.
And then we're disappointed that you know, the thunder that we thought was going to roar from heaven didn't roar.
Yes.
The mountain that we told God to move didn't even the dust didn't even roll off the side of the mountain, let alone the mountain move.
Yeah.
It's because we weren't that focused. We mm-hmm. were. It was just, you know, it was just whatever.
And I just want to, before we've got a comment or question just come in, but sometimes, I mean, I've been in churches where they've announced a fast to deal with the devil. You know? Yeah. And you're binding and loosing and this, that, for 21 days, 30 days, and, you know. And you see some of them on YouTube, you know, 30-day fast to break the devil's neck and all of that. I mean,
And this is the issue. I think it's important that we get our theology straight. Mm. There is nothing wrong with a 5-day fast, a 21-day fast, a 30-day fast, a 40-day fast. And we see lots of examples of this, even in Scripture. Jesus himself did a fast. And we get it. Fine, no problems. But we've got to get our theology straight. Mm. Just again, that your fasting doesn't kill Satan. Mm. Your fasting doesn't deal with the demon. Mm. Your fasting doesn't touch God. Mm. It touches you. Mm. It breaks what needs to break in you. Mm. It deals with what needs to be dealt with in you. Mm. But in dealing with those things of the flesh, those things of the natural or carnal or human nature, it then, as you rightly said, helps to awaken your spirit, to sharpen the sensitivity of your spirit, enabling you to better hear from God, better touch God, better meet God, better to understand. So that thing that you were fasting for, to say, Lord, my neighbor, when he parks his BMW, the tire is on my side of the pavement. Lord, help him not to do it. You know, God then says, you know, if his tire is on that side of the pavement, I want you to wash that tire. But because you're that much closer to God, you can actually hear those things. You hear God. You hear those things he's saying that don't meet directly what you asked for. Sometimes we ask for healing, but in that moment he wants to give us peace. Sometimes we ask him for peace, but in that moment he wants to give us a friend. You know, and so that's God. You know, but what it does, it finds you, like you said, I think it helps to awaken the spirit, make us more attentive, more receptive to hear from God and to meet God. You know,
so the question that we've got that's coming says, thank you for such an important topic for Christians. You're welcome. As most people still have to work, look after family or study, would you suggest going away on a retreat or stop the daily routine to get the most benefit from fasting?
And I think this in some ways leads to the how should we fast? Mm-hmm. You know, and the, you know, what does fasting look like? You know, the how. So as we've talked about, when I did the dry fast, there's no way on God's green earth I would do a dry fast and continue my routine. You need to just, you know, but even if I was doing a prolonged fast, if I was doing a, you know, earlier on, Norma, you talked about the, you know, you'd say you wake up in the morning, let's call it 6 a.m., whether that be 6 to 3, 6 to noon, or 6 till 3 in the afternoon, 6 till 6 in the evening, or do a full 24-hour run, you know. And that's just a regular fast where you're still hydrating, you're still drinking, you know, keeping your fluids up, water predominantly. That's one way of doing it. If you're doing something like a dry fast, no drink, no food, no fluids. You need to shut your body down as much as possible. Otherwise, you start to run the, you know, you're burning serious calories in your day to day, in your thinking, in your moving, but you're not taking anything in, and that's not wise. That's not wisdom. So in certain situations where one is fasting, you know, but even if you're doing a regular fast, you're doing a 6 to 3, 6 to 12, and you've gone to work, unless you're being intentional and deliberate to make out those pockets and blocks of time for God, all you're doing is just a hunger strike. Yes. Go and eat, please. Mm. Go and eat. It ain't gonna do jack. You know, it is critical that the reason for the fast, you know, people say, oh, fast, it's a magic, it's not a magic pill. Mm-mm. It's not a magic wand, you know.
And sometimes it can be portrayed as that, you know, if you fast for 3 or 5 days,
and that's it, that's the solution.
At the end of it. And I think, the example that Noma gave of her mum, when her mum just shut everything off and just isolated. Basically, she retreated from the
distraction. Absolutely.
So if in answer to the person's question, if you're able to do that, then yes. But if not, then you have to look at what you can do within your remit. You know, if you've got a family with young children, you know, it's, for example, you're a single parent, you know, there's different ways of fasting. Food, absence from food is not the only way.
Yes, it's the obvious one, but it's not the only one. Yes.
I mean, I've fasted from television, social media, you know, even there's this, if you get before God and say, okay, God, I'm going to go on a fast, I'm going to spend time, you know, with you. How do you want me to fast? Because God knows you. It might be like, well, you know what, that gossip, I need you to fast from that gossip. You know, you're spending far too much time on certain things, you know, or, you know, it could be money that's really gripping you that God wants. ask you to fast from, or thinking about, like, for some people, work is their God.
Yes, you
know?
Yes.
And God will say, well, I need you to take 3 days off work, you know, and fast and seek my face.
Yes, yes.
What's your take, Nana?
I'm just nodding because I'm just like, I was really looking forward to this because I really wanted for myself, I felt this was going to be an enlightening thing for me because, again, growing up, you know, African, Nigerian, on that continent, one of the things that we are taught, either maybe indirectly, not like with words, is that with fasting, you can actually change what, you know, what God wants to do, you know? So usually our fasting is mostly about, God, do this for me. God, I need this. Yes. God, it's not about, yes, I want more of you. Yes. It's like,
okay. His hand.
Yes, I want to pass my exam. Mm. I want to be in a relationship. Mm. I want friends. Mm. You know, and so it becomes this list. And like you said, at the end of it, what usually happens is that you go back to your Christmas list and then you don't really see anything. Yeah, and that was why you were doing it. You were not doing it for more of him.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I'm really getting convicted.
Because the truth of it is in the more of him that we receive the more of him.
Yes.
And if we're thinking about the receiving and not the him, we think about the gift, not the giver, we've totally missed it. Mm. You see, we've totally missed it. I think it's really, really important, the point that you've made, that it is about, you know, fasting is about seeking him. Mm. It's about pressing into him more than anything else. And a lot of this, you know, and let me just make this point. If there was one thing you could do, and that was your choice, at your will, and that thing can change God, he is not God.
Exactly.
There's one thing at your will. Again, I emphasize your will, your choice, your timing, and it changes God. In fact, he was never God.
So we've spoken about why do we need to fast? Mm. How do we need to fast?
Should we touch on the who?
Okay.
Who needs to fast? Mm-hmm.
The direct answer to the question, who needs to fast? So we remember, think the why, okay, it changes us, it helps us to hone our focus.
Yeah.
The how, the different ways. It's about abstinence. Yeah. It's about that thing that helps you, that you abstain from. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, for example, I'll abstain from going to the gym. Mm. Stop it.
Unless
it's
of, like, you know, like what you were saying in terms of distraction.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. I'm even saying someone can say, no, my fast is I'm not going to the gym. And I'm saying to them, is that enough? Because typically we go to the gym what, once, twice a week? You know, what you're gonna do this week? I'm not. Christmas time, you don't go to the gym anymore. You know, what is it taking away from you? Yeah. What is it costing you that's then causing you to put your focus on God? Mm. What's it costing you that's causing you to put your focus on God? Mm. So it's important that's the how. But the who, to a degree, everybody should fast. Mm. Everybody. Now, this comes with a health warning.
Yes. It
comes with a caveat. Yes. You're on medication. You're pregnant. You're up in age. You know, there are certain categories of people where wisdom is a principal thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. In all you're getting at understanding, you know, wisdom is profitable to direct, the book of Daniel tells us. Mm. You know, it is critical that wisdom is applied. Mm. So rather like your regular fasting, you keep your fluids up. Mm. You know, dry fasting, do a 24-hour fast. Mm. Start your dry with a 24 and see what happens. Mm. Oh, I'm going to start with a 7-day. Bruv. You know, anyway, 999 is a free call. Okay. You know? And so it's really, because again, it's not changing God. Mm. It's changing you.
Yes.
Mm. So do it with wisdom. Mm. You know, even sometimes you say to, you know, I know a situation where children have fasted and said, I'm not going to watch any TV this weekend. That's their fast as a child.
Mm.
And it's about, you know, fasting is a spiritual discipline.
Mm.
And the point of it is disciplining the flesh, disciplining the desires of the flesh, disciplining the body, you know, the emotions, that disciplining, coming into that place.
And not everybody fasts to get closer to God, because there are people who are spiritualists, those who are New Ages, those who are Satanists, who also fast.
Absolutely.
To hear from the evil spirits.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you come across someone and they say, oh, I'm fasting, you think, oh, I'm not fasting enough. Listen, ask them why they're fasting, who they're fasting to, because not everyone is fasting to get closer to God.
And obviously there are fasts in other religions as well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that they're the same as ours, you know.
Yeah,
we're all on a journey. We're all different destinations.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, two people, same flight, different destinations. The plane will touch down at this one airport, but for you, it might be the end. For them, it's transit.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah.
True.
You know, and I think that those are important factors.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, fasting can be fun. It can be good. I think it's a good spiritual discipline.
Yeah,
and through it, we can actually grow.
Mm.
We can, just that knowing how to stop, pause, put everything, still the world, still your mind, still your heart and your anxieties.
Yeah.
And the cost is this, but the gain is Christ.
Christ,
you know?
Yes. Yes, I think for me, the thing that I'll be leaving with is, you know, fasting is about wanting more of God. It's you know, because He is enough type of, you know, He is enough, and in Him is everything else.
Mm.
But you have to want Him. And I think sometimes I also have been guilty of wanting what He has as opposed to wanting Him. And I think that is something that every Christian, we need to reorient how we approach, you know, fasting.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. I think it's really, sorry, go on.
No.
I think it's really important. Again, it's the whole wanting the gift over the giver.
Mm.
We've got to be so careful of that. I want you to think about a child that you regularly buy a birthday gift for, you know, and every time they come to see you, they go, hello, I've been good. Where's my present? It's like, you didn't even say hello.
Mm.
You don't. And it's one thing if they're doing that and they're age 2 or 3 or 4.
Mm.
It's another thing when they're doing that when they're age 35 or 40 or 45. Mm. You're thinking, are you for real?
Yes.
This is a joke.
Yes.
You know? And what do you do for 35-year-old, 60-year-old like that? You ignore them.
Yes.
You actually ignore them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are times when God ignores our adult tantrums,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, listeners, I hope you got a lot out of that. And, you know, don't feel bad if you think, oh my goodness, I've been fasting the wrong way.
Mm.
Listen, we have all made mistakes.
Yes.
We've all been taught a certain way. But now let us know that fasting is to seek God and to get closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy your fasting journey.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, let us know what you've taken away from today. Share this broadcast with other friends and Christians that you know. And we will be back next week with another hot topic. And for now, you've been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name is Ilian, and I've been joined by Noma. And with Pastor DJ, and thank you for joining us. And as always, as we beautifully end the show with, I think, by saying thank you for listening. And remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.